Gambling is a moral issue confronting Christians. In fact, as I said this morning, you will be confronted with it at the voting booth this Tuesday. And let me just begin by saying that I'm not so naive as to think that there are not other issues on the ballot. But this is one of many things that we need to be aware of, and we need to voice our opposition to in our right to vote. But the proliferation of government-sanctioned gambling is appalling. Did you know that there are about 44 states plus the District of Columbia that have state-sanctioned lotteries? And the argument is that we can have a better education system and better opportunities for our children if we will just form a state education lottery. Well, as one source puts it, what the data tells us is that state lotteries generate vast revenues, most of which don't head back to the states. Another source says, many experts say that even when lottery money is targeted toward a particular purpose, such as education or environmental protection, it has little or no effect. The lottery money does go to the intended cause. However, instead of adding to the funds for those programs, legislators factor in the lottery revenue and allocate less government money to the program budgets, says one lottery critic. In the first year of a lottery, there is a dramatic increase in spending on education, he says. In subsequent years, however, the increase in education spending is much smaller than in states without lotteries, even when adjusting for inflation, number of children in a state, and other factors. He says, given a few years, a state would have spent more on education without a lottery. So what is gambling? According to Wikipedia, gambling is the wagering of money or something of material value on an event with an uncertain outcome, with the primary intent of winning additional money and or material goods. Another term that is used is gaming. Typically, this refers to instances in which the activity has been specifically permitted by law. And sadly, some religions even encourage gambling. Both the Catholic and Jewish traditions traditionally set aside days for gambling. The same article also mentions Christmas and Hanukkah as holidays in which gambling was permitted, if not encouraged. So, if both states and some religions approve of gambling, what could be wrong with it? Well, before we supply some answers, let's first address arguments that are used to justify gambling. One argument is life is a gamble. I mean, does not Solomon say that time and chance happens to them all in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11? Well, it may appear that way when life is viewed, as Solomon puts it, under the sun. That is to say, a purely worldly perspective. But God's will in our lives includes a life of, as some people put it, God's will in our lives, God's will in our lives excludes a life of pure chance. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 19 says, "But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills." And then James 4, 13 through 15, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. So the fact is that life is not a gamble. Life involves the will of God. Another argument to justify gambling is that farming is a gamble. Does not the farmer take a risk in sowing when he may not reap? However, the fact is that God has promised in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. You see, farming is an honorable way of receiving God's blessings. In Psalm 104, verses 13 and 14, he, that is God, waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that he may bring forth food from the earth. Next, some try to justify gambling by saying that buying insurance is a gamble. But the fact is that insurance is simply a method of shifting risk for accidents, illnesses, and even death from one party to another. It is also a way of providing for one's family, which is an important duty according to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Another justification for gambling is investing is a gamble. Is not investing in business or the stock market taking a chance? Well, it can be when it involves great speculation or significant risks. For example, one of the things on the market today are what are called penny stocks. And they should be put under the heading of speculative or significant risks. There's an article on a blog called Awesome Penny Stocks. So this blogger invests in penny stocks and he advises people to invest in penny stocks. But here's what he says in an article on his blog that he entitled Penny Stocks Gambler. He said this, "The Kenny Rogers song, The Gambler, is extremely accurate when it comes to penny stocks. If you're going to play the game, you better learn to play it right. Almost all of the penny stocks move on hype. If you look at the five-year charts, most penny stocks have moved down big time. Penny stocks are like playing slot machines. Some win big, but if you stay at the machine too long, you will lose all of your money. Penny stocks hold a lot of the same psychology as Ponzi schemes, as well as multi-level marketing. You will see a bunch of people spreading the word and pumping stocks that they own shares of, trying to influence others to buy. The companies are almost always overpriced, and most of the people pumping the stocks are simply regurgitating information that was pumped and passed on to them. This creates a rippling effect, especially if the stock has forward momentum. In every stock, there will be winners and losers. There are two types of winners, those who got lucky and those that have learned from their losses and mistakes. If you are new to stocks and you have been making money, consider yourself to be lucky. And too many times, new investors will get lucky and develop a huge ego. They will think that they develop some secret system for picking the correct penny stocks. Their luck is almost always short-lived. They will get crushed in the market. My first year investing in the market, I turned $9,000 into $180,000 in 4 months. Then I received a huge blessing in disguise. I invested in the stock and let my ego get the best of me, and I lost $100,000 in 3 months. At the time, this was a great learning lesson. One of the best tips I can give beginners is to look at every penny stock as a scam. But on the other hand, good and safe investments based on long track records is not gambling. It's just like in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, where the man gave his possessions to three servants. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. The first is said to have went and traded with them and gained five more. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents gained two more. Now the word traded here means to engage in activity that involves effort, work, to do or accomplish something through work. And the word gained means to acquire by effort or investment. So even if a person does not get into the stock market, does not invest, whatever the case may be that you might say, well, this is an investment. The same person or a different person who buys a bunch of material, a bunch of stock, a bunch of equipment or a bunch of products and puts them in a warehouse or a storeroom is taking the same chance as the man who goes into the stock market having done his research, because he is counting on his product to sell. And even the one talent man, when he did not want to risk losing the money in business or investing, his master said, at least you should have put it in the bank. Then I would have had my money with interest. So investing is not gambling when done wisely. The fact is that arguments in favor of gambling are weak attempts to defend the indefensible. Compare them with arguments against gambling. First and foremost, the principle is sinful. Gambling violates the work ethic. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28, Paul says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 11. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you. Therefore, the Bible teaches that we are to get gain from honorable labor, not get-rich-quick schemes. Secondly, gambling violates the stewardship ethic. In 1 Chronicles 29, 13 and 14, in the context of David gathering offerings for the temple that Solomon would build, in his prayer to God, he says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given to you." All things come from God, and we will have to give an account for our stewardship. You know, people gamble for a quick profit, willing to risk what is not theirs, and therefore are not good stewards. Next, the motivation to gamble is sinful. You know, people gamble because of greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." But not only do people gamble because of greed, they gamble because of covetousness. In Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 7, it says, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral person or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them." And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience." You see, those who are covetous want something more than God, which makes it idolatry. They will bring the wrath of God upon themselves. People gamble because they want to be rich, a desire that we should flee. Continuing with 1 Timothy chapter 6, read verse 11. "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." But what about the person who says, "Well, I gamble for entertainment. I have a preacher friend. I won't tell you where he preaches." But in our younger days, he followed me at Lipscomb University. And he wrote a paper for a Bible class. I forget the name of the class, but he wrote a paper on how gambling can be right if it's done for entertainment. And the professor agreed with him. Now, keep in mind that it's the same professor who also said on another occasion that if you happen to be a real good, faithful Muslim, God just might make a way for you into heaven. Okay? So in this paper, he said, well, a person goes out and spends $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a bass boat for their entertainment. Why can't I take that same $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 and go gamble with it? Well, there are many reasons why that is wrong. And let me give you a few. The fruit of gambling is sinful. First, it takes advantage of others' weaknesses. In Isaiah 3, verses 13 through 15, it says, "The Lord arises to contend and stands to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment with the elders and princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the face of the poor? Declares the Lord God of hosts." You see, one of the things that is so wrong with gambling is the fact that a greater percentage of the people who are in the lower economic strata, they spend their money, sometimes their food budgets, sometimes their house payments, on the lottery or some other form of gambling. You say, well, you know, they're free will beings. They can do that if they want to. Well, when you put your $2 or whatever amount of money you do into a lottery ticket or into some other form of gambling, are you not just encouraging that? And if you win, whose money are you winning? You're winning their house payment. You're winning their grocery budget. And their kids are suffering because you took their money. Oh, it's all legal. That doesn't make it right. You see, this is called exploiting others or extorting money for one's own advantage. Do gamblers care what happens to those who lose? And the fact is, they don't. I mean, just think about how much money was spent just in the past few weeks when the Mega Millions got to $1.6 billion. How do you think it got to that point? People just kept pouring the money and pouring the money and pouring the money into it. And the higher it went, the more money they put in it. And I'm told that only one person won it. How do you think he or she feels about where that money came from? Do you think he or she gave it a second thought? Really don't care? I think that that might be the case. You see, the fruit of gambling is not only sinful because it preys upon the weak and the poor, something that throughout Scripture God has condemned time and time again. In fact, I believe we could apply this to 1 Kings chapter 21, which we're going to study next Sunday morning. Ahab, and specifically Jezebel, taking advantage of Naboth, specifically in the form of murder, and railroading him. But here's Naboth, who is only trying to do what God says. He's trying to keep whatever little inheritance he has for his children. And because Ahab gets greedy, Naboth loses his life. But the fruit of gambling is sinful also because it leads to unsavory companions, such as bookies and loan sharks. And we know from 1 Corinthians 15:33 that bad company corrupts good morals. In Ephesians 5:11 and 12, Paul says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." And I'll just go ahead and run a rabbit trail here real quick and throw check cashing enterprises into this. Taking advantage of those who are weak and poor. I mean, I know this is being recorded, but my own cousin owns Check Into Cash. And his argument is they know what they're getting into. But on the side, he's thinking, I'll take advantage of them all day long. Folks, it's the same kind of taking advantage when we buy a lottery ticket, when we go and do any other type of gambling. Next, the fruit of gambling is sinful in that it can lead to addiction. 2 Peter 2, verse 19, the last part of the verse, Peter says, "By what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved." You see, gambling can become psychologically and physically addictive. Wayne Jackson says that gambling is highly addictive. According to the National Gambling Impact Study Commission, 15 to 20 million adults and adolescents have either problem or pathological gambling addictions, which is about 5 to 7% of the U.S. population. And he quoted another source that said, if you take 15 million people and place them in average-sized NFL football stadiums that hold about 70,000 people, you could fill approximately 214 stadiums to capacity with problem and pathological gamblers in the U.S. That doesn't count all the other countries around the world. And as another source said, the person involved in gambling gets high and finds it difficult to control or limit gambling, which is also characteristic of drugs addiction. Moreover, there are negative emotions similar to withdrawal syndrome when a person is deprived of the gambling activity. And finally, even the medications used to treat substance addiction have shown to be efficient in the management of gambling disorder. And another source says, monetary reward in a gambling-like experiment produces brain activation very similar to that observed in a cocaine addict receiving an infusion of cocaine. And this is a medical doctor who is the co-director of the Motivation and Emotion Neuroscience Center at Massachusetts General Hospital. But not only is the fruit of gambling along the lines that we have stated, but it also leads to other sins. As debts build up, people turn to other quick sources of money, such as theft or drug distribution. In fact, there was one article that I didn't think I'd have the time to include it, but I'll just summarize it real quick, that this, I don't know if you call him white-collar person who is in this corporation, he embezzled some $230,000 from his boss because of his gambling addiction. Not only did he lose his job, he lost his wife, his children, he lost his friends, and he went to jail. Not only that, but suicide is common, along with abuse, divorce, and other mental disorders. You see, people who gamble do not consider how they hurt themselves. And as we said earlier, they certainly do not consider how they hurt others. So which is gambling more like? The works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Is it more like the deeds of the old man or the apparel of the new man who is in Christ? You see, one does not need to look long to see that gambling is sinful because the motive is greed, the desire is to get rich quick, and the harm to self and others is extensive. Consider these tidbits of wisdom. Gambling, the sure way of getting nothing from something. Also, the safest way to double your money is to fold it over once and put it in your pocket. By gaming, we lose both our time and treasure, two things most precious to the life of man. And the lottery, a tax on people who are bad at math. You see, only those blinded by the deceitfulness of sin have problems seeing the problems with gambling. And that's exactly what David was talking about this morning when he spoke of human gullibility, the deceitfulness, the lies that Satan tells us. It's Ephesians 4, 17 through 20, where Paul says this, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." Don't be fooled by all the hype about how great a lottery would be for the state of Alabama. Don't be taken in by Satan's lies. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, I beg you to come as we stand and sing.